This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Today on the show, we have Idham Nawawi, CEO of Celcom Axiata. Idham, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Joyce. It's good to be here.
Well, Idham, you've been with the Axiata Group since 2012, and that's in nearly 7 years with the group. You've held positions handling regulatory management, government relations, corporate comms, corporate affairs, as well as managing the group CEO's office and Axiata's program and governance office as well. And you just took over the top CEO post at Celcom in September last year.
Yes.
With your knowledge of the company and over two decades of experience in the telco sector, coupled with the rapid evolution of the industry, how are you positioning Celcom in this fast-changing landscape?
Okay. Well, thank you, Joyce. I think it's very interesting. But if first, perhaps we have to understand a little bit about Celcom. Celcom is a 31-year-old company. Mm. It's been around for a long time. We've been kind of almost the first. It was the first mobile operator in Malaysia. Right, so we have done many significant milestones in the country. From the 2G days, we moved to 3G, to 4G today, and now we have one of the widest 4G and 4G plus network in Malaysia. Right, so in terms of network, we have a lot of experience in building this, and we have been part as the country developed. As the economy developed from those days. So now that the industry has changed, we have seen how industry changed globally. We have moved from data to voice. I think that has happened in a few years back. Mm-hmm. The challenges from the OTT, all that is coming into place that will disrupt the industry. So now Celcom, even though it's a 31-year-old company, now has to think differently. Mm-hmm. Now we have to operate more. My biggest challenge or the opportunities I'm looking at is how do you turn Celcom into a 31-year-old, 3,000-strong startup? Right?
Startup, okay.
Yeah, so how do you build this mentality? Yeah. Mm. So how do you build this mentality into the company? How do you translate that into how we go to market? How we translate that into our product and services and how we serve our customers?
Yeah. Okay, so how are you going to do that? Well, it's quite a big ambitious plan.
It's quite a big ambition. Mm. First, I think I came in at the right time. It's an opportunity, right? In the past 2 years, we have worked actually very hard to stabilize the company. We have gone through the good and the bad times. And Celcom at one point was one of the best performers in the industry. But as the industry plateaued, we were impacted as the rest of the other players as well. But in the past couple of years, actually, we put the fundamentals to put the company back on track. Right? So in terms of revenue, we're seeing back some growth. Our distribution is getting stronger. We catch up on the investment on the network. Right? Now our network is one of the best performing in terms of video experience in the country. I think some of the latest third-party crowdsource data also indicates that it's one of the best also in the region. And we are ready, actually, to provide the best customer experience to all that. We call it awesome customer experience, awesome video experience to our users. So that's something that I think the fundamentals that we have done, right? Now, it's just the second part is then how do you translate some of this into our product and services, right? There are opportunities, of course, in new areas as the industry, as the market demand change. As today, a lot more customers now we're seeing more than 70% data penetration. Yeah, the revenue is coming from data. So there's a lot more opportunities. We again talk about the market opportunities where we're going to go, the area that we're going to grow. But one fundamental thing that we have to make the change is actually even internally how Celcom operates. And how Celcom to come after 31 years now turn itself to become, I would call it a digital company, right, and adopt these technologies internally, and how do we operate and also improve our productivity in terms of how we serve our customers, etc. We have actually a lot of initiatives in this area. Yeah, and some of these areas, we are actually in the forefront, especially in the AI, how we serve our customers using artificial intelligence, using chatbots, etc., for example. I just give you an example. In serving our customers, we take customer experience as our pinnacle, the primary strategy driving into the market. In the past few years, we have transformed how we serve our customers, and this has been recognized. I'm proud to say, actually, some of the achievement. We won a few awards, recognition for this, not only in Malaysia, not only in the region, the latest being at the global level, right, where we won awards against the likes of Vodafone, the likes of Hutchinson, the likes of Orange, etc. So in the same arena as them. We have introduced a lot of automation in terms of how we serve our customers. Our customer service chat box, for example, we have names for them. It's called Clive and Emma. It's actually the first in the region that actually use a dual personality chat box. Right? Mm. So it's something new that we do. We innovate a lot. So internally also, we use a lot of AI, robotics, tools. We have more 15 to 20 different initiatives internally, including marketing and all the way to HR, how to use these tools, yeah, to change how we operate. So internally, we're modernizing ourselves. Of course, physically, we just moved to a new office, a new environment. We say this is a new Celcom, right, in a way. But it's the main challenge would be how do you translate this into a different way of working, right? So that's internal. What we have to do in terms of how do you change Celcom to become more operate like I mentioned as a startup. Yeah.
Mm, exactly. And Idham, you're saying all the right things, you know, innovation, AI, robotics, going digital, data-driven kind of company. That's good, but, you know, it's the right words, but how is the company going to successfully execute this, and when do you expect to see actual results? Because as you said, you know, Celcom's a 31-year-old company. Mm. It was the first mobile operator in Malaysia, but it has lost a lot of ground in terms of competition. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do to play catch-up, and when do you expect to see results from all these things that you're doing?
Yeah. We were playing catch-up in a while. I think right now, I think the first fundamental that we fixed was reinvestment and investment into the network, right? So now I think that catch-up on the network is there. We are done. I think we have all the capacities that we need in order to go to the market, right? Yes, this transformation takes a long time, but we started the journey actually 2 years ago in terms of fixing the fundamentals. Now, how do you take Celcom to the next level? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you become data-driven company, for example? How do we build a team of data scientists, which we do have a team right now, and we're trying to put, we call it institutionalizing analytics, where I would like to see most of the decisions made within the company is data-driven. So we are implementing all this, right? But this, like you said, correctly said, this is not going to be by tomorrow everything is done, right? So we hope at the end of the day, how we changed how we operate is to even look at the opportunity around relooking how our cost structure, even how does changing this help us to become more efficient and more cost effective in how we serve the market. So within the next 2 to 3 years, then we hope to see where not only that we're catching up, yeah, we're seeing the growth in our market in terms of our revenue growth, our ARPU growth, etc. That's moving in the right direction. But we use this opportunity to also improve on our productivity. Yeah, and our operational efficiency, right?
So what cost-cutting measures are you looking at? Would that include like potential job cuts or that sorts? Because looking at your earnings, revenue is trending up, but you know your profits is not.
Yeah. A lot of companies, when they say cost-cutting, first thing comes to mind is job cuts.
Yeah, that's what I'm clarifying.
That's not what we're thinking, okay. Right?
How are you going to cut costs?
I think there's a lot of areas that we are looking at all around across the board, but there are three main areas that we probably want to focus on. I mean, the first one to focus on is probably how do we serve our customer better in a more cost-effective manner in the network side, right? How do we, the cost to serve from the network perspective, from the IT system perspective, from serving them as a customer service perspective, right? So how do we reduce that cost, right? I think that's probably the first priority that we should be looking at. Second is we have made the investment, and how do we monetize this investment better? Mm. I think that is more critical than just improving productivity. Of course, it's important, but it's not just about productivity. But it's how do you get more value, more money from the investment that you have made? I think that's probably the second part that we're looking at. The third part is in terms of the operational costs, like this automation, this digitization that we're doing. How do we actually translate that into the real cost savings. Mm. Even, if, for example, direct interaction or transaction that the customers can do directly with us, right? How that change our cost structure, for example. So that's another area that we look at. But of course, moving forward, productivity is also important. Yeah, but productivity does not mean direct to job cuts, right? What it is how do we do things differently, right? How do we get the right skills and the right people to do the right thing? And then there's some new areas that we want to do where we can move some of these people to do that.
With this cost rationalization plan, when do you think you'll be able to see a reversal when it comes to your earnings trend? You'll see a reversal and you'll see your earnings actually picking up.
Yeah, we're targeting about 2 to 3 years. I think we have made it known before that we have a target of cumulative of cost savings around 900 million in the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's some of the areas, and we identified some of the key areas that we want to do this, how we do this.
So in 2 to 3 years, you're saying that you can possibly see the profits of Celcom trending up?
We should see the profit trending up earlier than that. Yeah, so we should see the reversal some of these trends.
The reversal should... So when will the reversal come for earnings?
We should see that earlier than 2 to 3 years.
So yeah, FY 2019?
Well, I don't like to put forward in terms of numbers, but if our plans move right, we should see a better returns coming up. If all our strategy is actually executed properly, we should see some healthier numbers going forward.
As early as this year?
Yeah.
As early as this financial year?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm speaking to Idham Nawawi, CEO of Celcom Axiata. After this, we'll continue our conversation on Celcom and their strategies to take themselves to the next level now that the building blocks are in place. Stay tuned to The Breakfast Grill on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss.
Good morning. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, and my guest today is Idham Nawawi, CEO of Celcom Axiata. Idham, earlier we were talking about Celcom and how the company has put some strategies in place. You have the foundation in place right now and you are ready to take the group to the next level. Now let's shift the conversation to intensifying competition. The Malaysian government is considering opening up the industry to foreign players, which will squeeze the big three incumbents, Celcom included, even further in terms of margin erosion. So as it is, Maxis, Digi and Celcom have lost some market share to the likes of U-Mobiles as well. So how are you preparing yourself for the possibility of competition intensifying further in a landscape that is already very highly competitive?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Now, if you look at in Malaysia, the industry, between the fixed network and the mobile network, there are two different characteristics. When we look at the mobile network, it's actually it's quite intense competition is already in place. Yeah, if you look at it, we already have, if you include the players, MNOs, as well as the MVNOs, we already have 14 players, right? And if you look at what has been happening in the past few years, yes, this competition helped in terms of bringing the price and the cost down to consumers. But we've seen the past 2 years, the utilization has tripled in terms of the use of data per customer. Data is unlike voice. Voice, there are only certain time that you can talk. Data, even when you sleep, the network is working. If you look at in terms of pricing to the market, it has declined by 80%, right? So we're seeing the impact of competition to bring the value to the consumers is already happening in the past few years, right? I guess the next question for us as an industry, even as a country for that matter, is what's next? How do we make this a sustainable industry moving forward? How do we actually, because the increase in utilization, the increase in demand, the increase in how people use data, we require a lot more investment coming up in the future, right? And we're talking today, we're in the 4G and later on the 5G is coming. So how do we optimize our investment, I think, is one question that we as industry should look at. What is the right level of investment and how many type of investment without too much duplication of investment? Because duplicated investment also will create a lot of foreign cash outflow because we're investing in a network that we have to buy from overseas into the country. So what's the right level of investment? How many networks do we really need to have within the country? How do we optimize the resources like spectrum, right? Today we have about 9 spectrum holders in Malaysia. What do we do, right? Can we continue with that kind of numbers? Or should we consolidate some of the spectrum so we can do better, we can do more, and we can do actually provide services at a better quality, at a lower cost, right? I think that's one thing that we should be looking at. So it's not just price is very important into the market, but delivering a higher quality service at a lower cost, I think should be the priority of how we look at the level of competition and how do we look at optimizing the resources that we have moving forward.
Mm. Earlier, you were sharing with us about how Celcom is now number one in terms of video experience. Mm. But according to OpenSignal study, Celcom lags behind Maxis and some others in terms of network experience, being the only being at only third spot in terms of overall download speed and 4G availability. Mm. Mm. What are you doing to win this game?
Okay. I think it's very it's very important question that we correct the perception, right? If you look at what has happened in the industry, in the data network, today 70% of the data network is being used for video. Okay, so when you look at utilization of video, download speed is no longer the most important indicator to look at. Because when you watch video, there's other things that's very important. It's, well, there's a minimum download speed that you need to hit, yeah, to get a good HD quality. Is 5 megabits per second is actually sufficient to get a good video experience. But it must come with consistency. It must come with the low latency, etc. So the likes of OpenSignal, actually, they also measure the video experience. And if you look at that video experience result, Celcom is neck to neck, yeah, in terms of the number one and number two spot. We're actually number one in 12 out of 27 cities that they measure, right? And then we also look at some of the more recent reports come from Tutela. Right? It's, it measures not only in Malaysia, which again, we come up into the top two in terms of consistency, in terms of network experience in Malaysia, but they also measure in ASEAN, four countries in ASEAN for that matter. We are in the top two in terms of consistency, network consistency in the region. So it's important to correct this, that actually download speed is what was important then, but when it comes to the world of video or gaming, yeah, it's no longer the most important element of the network. So it's the consistency of the network, the latency of the network, and the measurement of what we call the video experience is more and more important now.
But what about coverage for users who are not really into video? Mm. What about that in terms of coverage and customer experience? Where is Celcom in terms of that?
You know, Celcom has always been known for coverage from the 2G and the 3G. Mm-hmm. And then now with the 4G, we have reached over 90% of our coverage with the LTE coverage, right? So we have both LTE and also LTE Plus. And now we have probably one of the strongest network, with LTE Plus, under hitting 580 megabits per second network. We have our number of sites is one of the highest number of sites now in the country. So we have one of the strongest network, not only in terms of coverage, but also in terms of capacity and throughput.
Okay, but you don't think there has been news flow that you've lost some market share because of coverage as well as your products may be too complicated to understand. Yeah. What's your comment on that?
That was, we faced that about 2 years ago. Past 2 years, we have made the investment. In the last year, we spent over $1 billion in terms of capex, rebuilding the network. Now, taking where our network is where it is today. Yeah.
Will you be spending more capex in the next 2 to 3 years? And if so, how much?
Yeah. Well, in this industry, investment is a continuous thing. So we have to continue to
invest. Do you see that increasing, though?
We believe that we have invested what we need to be invested sufficiently to get the sufficient coverage now that we are 90% in terms of LTE coverage at the end of last year. So the investment moving forward will be more how to strengthen the network further in terms of transmission, in terms of fiberization, etc. We don't foresee that we will be investing. We don't foresee that we probably need to invest as much as we did before, but we will have to continue to invest.
How much do you have a tentative figure to share with us? Or like maybe in terms of percentage-wise, how much that could go up or increase? Or
Perhaps I can't really share the exact number, but what you would see is in terms of percentage of revenue, it will be in the declining trend. So we will see lower and lower in terms of, we don't have to invest as much as we did before.
So in terms of percentage, what is your capex compared to revenue right now?
In the past year, we spend in the range of 18 to 19% of our revenue. Moving forward, we foresee this trend to go to lower down, right? But it will still be in the high teens. Yeah, but in the medium term, we hope to see this stabilize around the mid-teens of our revenue.
Okay, with a population of about 33 million and a mobile penetration rate of 131%, the outlook for telco is more cloudy, I think, for the near future. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned?
This is something that's happening globally, right? It comes to a point where every industry, the market saturates. But it is up to us how to innovate. There, we have to continue to look at new source of revenue, I think, at new markets. For us, yes, there are a few areas of new source of revenue we're looking at, besides, of course, becoming more optimized in our operations, etc. But new source of revenue, there's new trend in terms of, in the old days, we call it value-added services, right? So what's in the digital world, what's the equivalent? That's something we're working on. The millennials are consuming the services quite differently. So how do we adapt to these changing market needs? This is something that we need to innovate. Of course, there is the home market is there, as well as the ever-increasing or where everybody is going towards the enterprise market. There's a lot more solutions that's coming. But I think one important area to look at is the whole world is moving towards IR 4.0. Yeah, so how do we move into the area of IoT, for example? How do we innovate? As Alcom foresee ourselves that we can continue to innovate in this area. So we want to become a catalyst for the country, how to enable this to happen. We announced that our initial investment of around 100 million in terms of to build an IoT center of excellence here in Malaysia, which will help build for the Axiata Group, as well as what to put Malaysia as on the map when it comes to IoT. Yeah, so this investment will go into our network, a little bit of R&D, partnerships, and we welcome enterprises out there and even partners and solution providers to come and work with us in terms of how do you build IoT excellence here in Malaysia. So, yes, as the traditional market, as you say, is saturating or hit plateau, but there's always this innovation as the market evolves into new areas.
Well, you keep talking about innovation, but I think there are a number of general headwinds hitting the telco industry here in Malaysia, and this includes every telco pretty much offering the same services, and it's so easy to port numbers right now.
Yes.
So how does Celcom differentiate yourselves?
Yes, this was still coming. Yes, like I said, innovation is, of course, everybody talks about innovation, but we are relooking at how we're packaging ourselves, right? Mm. Even when you look at data, how do we move away from pricing and bundling? Also, we're looking at videos, etc. I think that's another way of looking at it. And also, be a bit more focused and precise in terms of our segmentation, looking at the millennials, how they do it differently, right? There are, of course, other segments that's actually growing that has been not being looked at carefully by the industry, but something that we will be looking at as well.
Idham, you're now 6 months at the driving seat right now. Where would you like to see Celcom in the next 2 to 3 years?
Like I said, we have a vision to become one of the most inspiring digital organizations. I think that's one. There's a lot of work to do from now and until then. But we hope that we will continue to become a company that actually, beyond just providing the best for the market, for the consumer, providing the best experience to our customers, but also a company that looks beyond the day-to-day business, right? How we become a catalyst into developing Malaysia also as a digital nation. So we hope to see that. We hope to continue to play our role to become this catalyst for the country.
I've been speaking to Idham Nawawi, CEO of Celcom Axiata. Idham, thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you, Joyce. It's a pleasure.
I'm Joyce Goh for The Breakfast Grill on The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.